This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll today has a little something to do with Carolyn Leavitt's words yesterday.
So for your audience who may not understand what has happened at this White House for decades, you have a group of journalists based here in Washington, D.C., who dictate which reporters go into the most intimate spaces of the American presidency, the Oval Office, who gets to ride on Air Force One. And that system hasn't changed since the early 1900s. Obviously, the media today in 2025 looks a heck of a lot different than it did when the White House Correspondents Association was formed. So this is a long overdue change. A lot of press secretaries and White Houses have talked about making this change. We are just the first to do it. We're shaking up Washington in more ways than one. And so moving forward, we're going to expand the pool's access to the president, to non-traditional journalists.
So Carolyn Leavitt saying they're going to expand the pool of access to the president, and that's the YouTube poll for today. Should I apply for the opportunity for a press pass at the White House? Yes or no? When I asked this, I don't usually ask you guys to like approve or weigh in on the poll question. I kind of just do it, but today I asked you guys because I was asking a question about me, and I feel kind of weird about doing that. And you guys both said, "Well, people are going to, yeah, good conversation starter," but you guys both said people are going to vote yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually try to find something out with the poll, but you guys said it would be a good conversation discussion to have regarding what they're trying to do with the press pool. I said in the beginning of the show that while it is leaning yes, that if I got to 400 votes today, that I would after the show take action to try to figure out how to do this. So we are 6 votes away from 400 votes.
When you apply, do you send in some sort of video?
I don't know what the process is.
Because if you do...
Do you have suggestions?
Yeah. You remember that Kimberly Klasick video where she was running for office and she was just walking around the city like taking names? I'm picturing that.
Where, do I walk in Missouri or Illinois? Or do I cross the bridge?
I think you cross the bridge. You spend actually a good portion of the video crossing the Stan Musial Bridge.
Walking across the bridge.
Yeah, right down the median.
We're out of time.
No, this is going to be like a 15 to 20 minute video. And they have to watch them all, as I understand it, legally.
I don't know if I will be walking across the Stan Musial Bridge. I don't know what... I mean, this was just mentioned yesterday. There was a previous... you know, they've had like the head of news at X sitting in the press room. They have one chair. You have to sit in a special chair. Now,
is it a bigger chair or
no,
is it just a chair?
I think it's a smaller chair.
It's not like a throne or something?
It's like a stool. No, I'm kidding. They have it off to the side. They're kind of sitting with where maybe the assistant press secretary would sit, or maybe somebody else who's going to come step up and speak on behalf of another department. So they actually kind of have a feature seat to the side. But I mean, it's true, the Annie Fry Show is not on the level of the head of news at X. That's the, when you're talking about alternative media, then the major outlets that are traditionally in the press room or in the press pool, that's not something that I would think we qualified for. So it's kind of watching and seeing who is in that chair. And I'm thinking, okay, these are big league people. We're not big leagues. What league would you say that we are here on the Annie Fry Show?
I wouldn't say JV. I would say we're varsity. Yeah, but the others
like
are
2A?
Like pro. So we're just a high school varsity.
Like big dogs on campus?
Yeah.
Small campus.
Yes. Big man on campus, but you're still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't graduated.
You don't show up and be like, all right, guys, I'm here. Everybody sit down.
Right.
You would. You would do that.
Oh, I'd strut around no matter what. Call it peacocking.
But then yesterday, that's all he tells people.
Yeah.
Yesterday, she announces that they want to expand it even further. They're talking about basically dismantling the authority that the White House Correspondents Association has. Now, traditionally, the White House Correspondents Association assembles the press pool and selects who's going to be in these places. They're now saying that they're going to stop paying attention to that and they're going to expand it. I think the expansion is a very smart thing. Let's do the devil's advocate thing and talk about a different White House, maybe a Biden or an Obama White House or a Kamala Harris White House or a Pete Buttigieg White House, whatever it might be. Do you want the White House, the people who have the power, picking who gets to ask the questions?
In the case of a liberal administration, whether that be Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg, it wouldn't matter. It's the same people. Like these are the same groups that are controlling these things.
I was going to say they kind of were.
That's what I mean, is that like it's the same people that would be picking it. So I wouldn't care whether they said, no, we're going to do it now because you're already doing it. Now, it is a big departure for a Republican administration to do that because they're saying, you are not us. We're going to do this now because you're doing it poorly and we don't like it.
It seems to me like the reformation of the White House Correspondents Association is really what's needed here, mm-hmm. but we're not there.
These are all steps in that direction, though.
Right. I would like to see an entity that is independent from the White House making these decisions, but we're not there. And the voters, I mean, I would think that Kamala Harris would think that the voters overwhelmingly chose somebody other than her. She does not. There is no facet of the results of the November 2024 election that suggests that Kamala Harris has a hook to hang her hat on. So a lot of that is a repudiation of the media, in my opinion, because the media has worked so diligently to uphold a fake narrative, to uphold a conspiratorial slandering of Donald Trump so that he is not allowed. Donald Trump is forbidden to be the representative in the Oval Office for the American people. That was the all hands in the middle agreement that these individuals, the bureaucrats, the swamp, and the media alike, they all came together to agree upon that. And I really think you have to purge, you have to rip it all out, and then reestablish something that is independent and that this is the natural occurrence of such a slanted media for so long, taking away the power from the American people, almost more than the politicians.
It's really across the board, too. It's not just the White House Correspondents Association or whatever it's called. It's all of these organizations that their original purpose was to be the nonpartisan outside of politics organization to try to mediate between the parties, but they've all gone left. The American Bar Association is one of them. You know, that was originally a great association for law and order and to have people vetted to come up through the legal system. But they've gone all the way left now. It's all these organizations, you know, and a lot of them, and this, in the case of the Bar Association, they're on the public dime now. And so, of course, they're against the Republican in office right now who's dismantling their funding, you know, because a lot of these organizations, not only are they left, but they're receiving government money. And so they're against everything this administration's doing.
Yeah. And the opposition has gotten them to a place where they've kind of lumped themselves all together. I mean, if you're looking at what MSNBC is going through right now, of course, there's a budget problem. And why do they have a budget problem? Because they have a viewer problem. And why do they have a viewer problem? Because people are sick of it. It's not just... This is the real tragedy about it. It's not just that those who advocate for policies that are left, that we disagree with them, they don't talk about policies. They only talk about hating Donald Trump. They spend the amount of time that they have talking about this administration or the Trump candidacy. I mean, the invocation of Hitler and Nazi with such a regularity completely diminishes what Hitler did, what Nazis would do. You can't repeat something like that. I mean, I know they're consumed with vitriolic hatred for this person, but I still have the question, why? Like, why? Why is it that in 2015, going back to our conversation with Carrie Pickett at 125, who is a reporter for The Washington Times and was looking into this in October of 2024 and following up on it now, why is it that in 2015, James Comey was sending honeypots into the Trump campaign to find something, find anything? Why was the person who was in charge of our investigative department trying to take down a potential presidential nominee? Why? And to me, I have still not seen anything that is so egregious. There are things in Donald Trump's past that I'm like, okay, I would like to cross that thing off the list. If I were he and I was looking back at my past, I'd be like, ooh, let's just leave that one over there. Maybe I didn't say that on a bus with Billy Bush or whatever. Just leave that back there. If I were looking back and I were trying to, you know, cultivate the shiniest resume for president, and I'm Donald Trump, there are things that would have to be taken off the list. But the things that are on the list aren't disqualifying things. They're sometimes crude. He's this big, bombastic personality that was in the limelight because he was a very, very rich real estate mogul in the biggest city in our country. So, I mean, go pick any Hollywood celebrity and go through their past. It's going to be similar. Maybe worse. There are opportunities for things that could have popped up and been very, very, very bad for Donald Trump. And it turns out, no, he didn't do that stuff.
Well, it's even more incredible because he's been investigated so heavily by everybody.
Correct. My point being that when you look at his past, he's actually a pretty good guy, if not when you hear stories like Kathy Lee Gifford's. Did you hear that story?
Yeah.
She talks about after having a baby, she there was a death threat, a very real death threat against her. And Donald Trump took care of her, picked her up in a helicopter and her new baby and flew her to a place in Atlantic City where she was safe. And Donald Trump did that for her and didn't make a big deal out of it. He's not been boastful about these things. Why is it that in 2015, I mean, if there's something to know about Donald Trump, we know it by now.
Yeah.
Why is it in 2015 that James Comey was in his own personal capacity with the strings of the FBI at his fingertips, in his own personal capacity, why was he trying to eliminate Donald Trump? Because you're either protecting the country from Donald Trump or you're protecting yourself from Donald Trump. And I can't see a single even wrinkle that is out of order with Donald Trump that suggests that Comey was doing the patriotically American thing when he did that. And I want to know all of the facts and all of the truth.
If the Attorney General of Illinois decided and said publicly, I'm going to go after you, whoever that is, you, if you live in Illinois, or any one of us, and actually ran their campaign on, you know what, if I'm elected, I'm going after Brad Range. I would be scared to death, even though I haven't done anything. I'd be like, man, this is going to be terrible. That's what the Attorney General of New York did to Donald Trump. And you know what she found? She found that he had real estate holdings that were higher in value than she thought they should be. That's it. I mean, it's incredible that he was able to get through somebody campaigning for my state. I'm going to go after this one man if you elect me.
It's not even like what they found was not even what they were looking for. It's just the best they could do.
That's the best they could find. And nobody's ever prosecuted that. If they have, it was a misdemeanor and nobody ever cared. And there was no victim. Like the banks were like, why are you doing this? We were fine with this deal.
He paid us back.
So stupid.
Yeah, we'd like to do business again.
Yes.
It's crazy. Should I go to the White House or should I apply for the opportunity for a press pass at the White House? I said 400 votes and I would adventure into that after the show, and we were at 420 votes.
Nice.
83% yes right now.
We're at over 400, which means you have to do it now.
I have to do a show.
No.
Are you going to do the rest of the show? Fine. Let's go to a break. It's all you on Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan's got it from here, and I will start sending some contacts as we move through the show. Don't go away. You can come vote and tell us if you think I should go. I'm excited for the opportunity. I don't even know what it entails, so we're going to learn about this together. I'll keep you updated. Is it a long shot? Probably. But, you know, in the famous line, so you're saying there's a chance. More than there was 2 days ago, so we'll give it a shot. We'll be right back.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie left the studio and just never came back, so I assume she's keeping her word on not wanting to do this segment and is going to let me do it. So we're going to play this clip here from the cabinet meeting today. This is Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary. Annie's back, but we're going to keep going anyway. Let's see if I can actually do this.
Did you forget to unmute your computer?
I got it.
So it was poorly overseen, poorly executed. Then you had our border open where millions of people came through. So the idea is we will have a proper business. We will modify the EB-5 agreement. Christy and I are working on it together. For $5 million, they'll get a license from the Department of Commerce. Then they'll make a proper investment on the EB-5. Right? And we think Scott and I will design the EB-5 investment model because Scott and I are the best people together to do that. So this is joint. This is exactly the Trump administration. We all work together. We work it out to be the best. And if we sell, just remember, 200,000. There's a line for EB-5 of 250,000 right now. 200,000 of these gold green cards is $1 trillion. To pay down our debt. And that's why the president is doing it, because we are going to balance this budget and we are going to pay off the debt under President Trump.
All right. Now, I appreciate this opportunity to bring up this issue because I thought this was fantastic from the cabinet meeting today.
Why are you talking like that?
I'm being official.
Is that how when I'm doing the show, is that what I sound like?
Oh, no, no, no.
What do I sound like?
You don't sound like that at all.
What do I sound
like? But this is what I sound like when I host the show. You're usually gone.
What do I sound like when I am being professional?
You're just like, as a mom.
There's the video for the White House application.
She's perfect.
Like a rabid 4-pound dog.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, wow, she does something a little different there, doesn't she, here in the Midwest?
She's trying to represent all people.
Yeah. So that's why I think maybe sending this clip of me talking professionally about the Commerce Secretary, maybe that gets us in the
door. Just want to say Commerce Secretary.
Yeah, it sounds great, doesn't it?
I'm not willing to talk like that.
Well, really, what I wanted to bring up here is that Howard Lutnick thinks outside the box. And that's what I like about the Trump administration in general, is that nobody ever thought about buying $5 million green cards before. And now this looks like it's going to be the actual policy. And what do they say? Not only are you going to bring in a bunch of rich people to spend a whole bunch of money in the United States, they're going to pay $5 million and raise $1 trillion to, quote, pay down the debt.
You're talking about the gold card?
Yeah.
Is this brilliant?
I think it is.
Trump said, and you might have mentioned this already, but Trump said something like, I think a lot of people are going to buy it. Maybe nobody will buy it, but they keep talking about it as like being able to keep our first round draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if one person buys it and we have $5 million, okay.
Yeah, even if it's not 200,000 people, because what they're saying is we got 250,000 people lined up to do this already.
I wonder what the market is out there for gold card applicants for radio show co-hosts.
Well, I don't need citizenship, though. I've already got it. you're talking about... I see. Now I see where this is going.
I don't need citizenship.
I'm a citizen of this country. I don't think you understand. So what you're saying, though, is that my position is for sale. And I would have to agree. If somebody came to you with $5 million, I would say... Seat's yours.
I think I'd have to pay the $5 million.
To work with you?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
They're taking my seat.
If I wanted to dabble in the draft picks of very highly qualified, brilliant people out there who might want to have the luxury of this gold card so they could stay in the country with a pathway to citizenship included, I could invest $5 million in acquiring one of these gold cards so that I could get a top-notch quality co-host.
You want an immigrant. That's what you're saying.
No, I want the best.
You want the best of the best. It's a meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's private money.
I don't have $5 million. You're good. So,
wouldn't it be more helpful?
Maybe we could ask the company.
Let's go to Odyssey. Yeah. Can we replace Ryan with somebody from overseas? It'll only cost you $5 million.
I asked for like $100 for a Facebook ad and got told no.
Can we have a billboard?
I'd have told me no too. I've never had a billboard.
Wouldn't it be fun though?
I think we've taken a lot of pictures of the show with us together that could go on the billboard, which is basically where the three of us line up and you stand in front of me.
I think we should, if we get a billboard, we should fundraise to get a billboard. But then once we get it, just blow it. I mean, do something on the billboard that's like, what were they even thinking? Like, we're just playing hockey.
Got to check.
You're like,
those
that doesn't
out.
Have anything to do with the show. It doesn't even say the name of the show. Just our names.
You got Annie anything Fry. Else to add to the segment?
I do.
Okay.
I have a story that I'd like to tell you. Now, there are no ruler foods in Edwardsville, correct?
Uh-uh.
You have to go to Collinsville, right?
Yeah, that's where we go.
That's where we go to. But last night, we had soccer practice in Edwardsville. So, to kill some time, I went to the grocery store to pick up something to eat, and I went to the Dierbergs.
Fancy.
I know, but I was in the clearance section.
Why were you in Dierbergs?
Like I said, soccer practice, picking up something to eat. While there, a gentleman looked over at me and then looked back. And I thought, because this happens a lot in the clearance section.
You went to Dierbergs to go to the clearance section.
Yes. That's where I got the dog
famous
food.
Doctor. Do you know how many people send me pictures of dog food?
I don't want to know.
It's more than you'd be
it's
happy about.
It's embarrassing. I knew the minute I told that story.
You didn't
that it
tell the
go
story.
Away.
You didn't tell the story.
I was trying to tell the story on my terms, and you didn't let that happen.
No, that's not accurate either.
Yes, it is.
Who didn't let that happen?
You.
Your wife.
My wife contacted you
to tell me that you ate dog food, and then literally in the message said you should tell the story on air. You should make fun of him for it.
Yeah,
it's because we're best friends. Go on.
I don't.
Dierbergs clearance section.
For either of you. I was in the Dierbergs clearance section yesterday, which I frequent, especially during soccer season. And I was there, and because it's a small area, and a lot of people go through it because there's really good deals in there. A lot of times you have to kind of sit and wait
really
your
good dog
turn.
Food. Yeah.
And then like people pressure you because they're waiting to get in too. So sometimes you pick up a bag of something like dog food, you don't even realize it.
I bet that you pressure people.
I sit there and tap my foot and look at my watch, if that's what you mean. Loudly, sighing. What else am I going to do while I wait? I say to myself. Finally, they move on and I look at my my coveted clearance section. Anyway, there's this guy standing there, and I assumed that he was looking at me like, oh, because he was there before me. And I assumed he was looking over because he's like, oh, here's somebody that's going to wait. So now his time is going to be cut short because I'm there. He gets done. He moves on. I get done. I go to check out. In the lane is that same guy. I just happen to walk up behind that same guy. And he looks back at me again. And I'm like, I wonder if he's mad at me for making him move too fast out of the clearance section. But nothing happened. There was no fisticuffs. I get done checking out, and I say to the clerk, or whatever you call him, the cashier, I said, sorry, but you're going to have to ring 100% of these items up. They're all clearance items because they don't ring up normal. You know, you got to punch in the number. When I said that, the guy turns back to me and goes, are you Ryan Wiggins from the Annie Fry Show? And I said,
was it my dad?
I said, sir, you look so different. No, it was not your dad. It was he was a listener. He's a regular listener. And
did you ask him why he wasn't at Ruler Foods?
No.
Tell him you're out there to scope.
Well, he's in Edwardsville. Yeah. That's probably why. But he, he loves the show. Maybe listening right now because he referenced something that we had said yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
And we just got to talking. We probably sat there and talked for 15 minutes. Super nice guy.
Well, they had to manually ring up everything you got out of the clearance.
Yeah, because it took a while to stand there. Now, I won't give away too much about his situation, but he's a really interesting guy. He's a government worker in this area.
Mm.
And so we got to talking about what's it like for you right now. And he said, well, they haven't really started cutting anything yet where he is.
Yeah.
But he said, but I will tell you that every single person is back in the office 5 days a week.
And looking busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does this person know me personally?
No.
Okay. We got an email, since you brought it up, we got an email from a listener who, I'm going to try to find out which email address I had this on. They wanted, oh, here it is. And I think this is an interesting perspective. So it's a compliment and a little critique. And I'll just read it to you. Hi, Annie and crew. I love your show. Listen every day that my schedule allows. And she made a comment in yesterday's live chat. I read it on air. Thanks. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. I'm a Republican and Trump supporter. My husband and I voted for Trump. My husband is also a federal employee. He recently made the switch over from 2 decades of work in the private sector and a short stint as a government contractor. His job is safe for now, but he works for an agency that has experienced significant cuts. Thousands of people let go overnight with no parachute or severance. It's scary. We have a kid in college and another that will be in the next few years. The attitude coming from the administration, Republicans, and even your show has at times been celebratory. You can blame big government for federal employees feeling comfortable, but that doesn't change the fact that good, hardworking people lost their jobs. People that are supporting families, paying mortgages, and buying groceries. There's some that are dead weight, of course. There's dead weight everywhere. People are employed, public and private sector. I think we need to take a step back and remember the human side of this situation. That's all. Again, love your show. The way you share your faith as a woman, wife, mother, and Republican gives me confidence every day, which I think is a very well-written criticism. I take that to heart. I think about that. I do think that it's very simple in a detached way when we're sitting here behind a microphone reading articles on X and depicting in your mind what a low-life leech government employee looks like. And that becomes a caricature that is not reflective of everybody who's being impacted by this.
No, it's definitely not. But you also hear people say, and here's the thing, this doesn't just apply to government. It applies to a lot of areas in life where there's not really a lot of oversight or accountability. I would say church is one of them because it's all volunteers. 80% of the people, or 20% of the people, do 80% of the work. It's the 80-20 thing, right? Everybody's heard this before. That same thing is what I keep hearing people apply to government, is that, yeah, you got 20% of the people who are working, and they're working hard. They have personal accountability. They might not have a lot of oversight, but they believe that they are actually there to be civil servants. That's why we use those words. But then if you have no oversight, you are going to have a whole lot of people who aren't doing a good job. And so is there bloat? Absolutely. And so when we're happy about government being cut, it's because we are $36 trillion in debt. And we have spent a lot of money, taxpayer money, that we cannot spend.
And, you know, this is kind of correlative. I often talk about how all three of us in here, Brad, Ryan, and myself, all of our spouses are teachers. Two of our spouses are public school teachers. And when I think about publicly funded unions, it very much so frustrates me. It very much so bothers me, the advocacy that utilizes tax dollars from the very teachers. Those teachers also pay taxes. They get lumped into funding these unions, and then the unions fund the elections of candidates that are going to... It's a very... circular thing that I don't feel like involves the taxpayer, and in this case also the student, the way it should. But there are a lot of criticisms that can be made about the way public education is in our society and in our American society, and in the way we our culture, the way through education culture can be massaged behind closed doors of classrooms, and the people who are there to regulate that may not have my best interests at heart for my child. So there are a lot of, you know, people talk about, oh, teachers will always talk about how they don't make enough money. The public will say, well, let's assess that situation. Let's look at the retirement plans. Let's look at everything that goes into benefiting people in that field of work. And the truth of the matter is, there is truth on both sides of that coin, that teachers can make a point about pay that they get, and taxpayers can make a point about the pay that they give. And the conversation would be a valuable one if the end result was figuring out what was best for the education of the students that were involved, which is to say you pay really good teachers really well. And you take bad teachers and say, go find another job. But that's not the system that is set up right now. The system is set up to protect anybody who's able to stick it out long enough in any different school district. It doesn't benefit them. So you can't, to the point of what this person who emailed us, it's a different details, but you can't just say, you know, federal workers, government workers are all leeches on society and they should all, it's not that simple. And I try to be cognizant of how we discuss these things. And I've said on the air before, I know for a fact that I've said on the air, like, these are real people who are being, who are nervous right now about the type of cuts that will come down. And I don't want to be flippant about that. So if I've ever been flippant about that, this is my unqualified apology for being that way. I do understand the humanity of it. And you could go to the beginning of the show, and I was kind of calling out people who are on our side of the aisle, too, for, you know, the immigration issue and things that might have been said by people who are jerks when it comes to immigration. If, like, you see somebody who is of Latino descent and you make some sort of hateful comment to them about going back to where they came from, and these people could be generationally rooted in the United States of America, like, that's just ignorant and that's stupid and that's what a-holes do. I will add to it, though, that as somebody who's worked in radio my entire professional life for over 18 years, the idea of budget cuts, job security, pay, people around you that you love and have worked with and worked for being let go, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, congratulations, you still have your job, but you're going to have to do your best friend's job that you were working with and your boss's job because we've consolidated or regionalized or whatever. What is happening right now in this government work realm has been happening in the private sector forever. And it's awful. So I actually, you know, heart to heart, really do understand the trepidation that people have. My husband went to school and got a degree in television and radio, and we thought it best to not have both of us be in television and radio. It's too volatile. And, you know, we had discussed at some point after he had gotten that first degree the possibility of him going back to be a teacher, and he felt called to do that, and so that he did that. And it is a much more safe and secure job than I have. It doesn't pay the same as what he would have, you know, if he were doing what I was doing. That would make more money, of course, but I know what it's like, and I'm saying that in this actual very minute, to question the tenure that I have, the future that I have. If I get let go here, will I ever work again in media? You know, these are all things that if you work in radio, you kind of have to laugh about it because it's so current always. You can be dead weight and get cut. You can be super successful and have done so well that you cost too much and you get cut. There's really no safe. And families who work in media specifically know that. I know that, which is why I'm always working my tail off to try to have as many lines in the water as I possibly can and work my butt off in a way that is not like I'm not being told by my boss, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And those are the things I do. I'm doing way more than that because I'm trying to be an overachiever. So I keep this thing going. So because I know what that feels like, I would not want to laugh at somebody else who's feeling that way right now, but to understand that it's probably more relatable than some of these people may know. Now, this commenter, this emailer said that they worked in the private sector for a long time, so they probably understand budget cuts and consolidation.
Yeah, it's thoughtful. And that's what the guy Dearburg said to me. He goes, yeah, I'm all for it. And then it starts to touch you and you go, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Send us your comments on the Annie Fry YouTube channel if you want to react to anything that we're discussing here, because it's all happening. It's all happening very fast. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We do not get to be here if you are not there. And we are very grateful for it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So I went to the White House Correspondents Association's website, whca.press, and they have a statement that came out yesterday White House Correspondents Association statement on White House announcement on press pool. There's what they say. Eugene Daniels, the association president. This move tears at the independence of a free press in the United States. It suggests the government will choose the journalists who cover the president. In a free country, leaders must not be able to choose their own press corps. I'm going to interject. That's where the problem has been. That the leaders have been choosing their own press corps. It's so very clear that the media, the press, has been in bed with the Democrats and the establishment to protect the government. I mean, what they're saying, I understand, like, in black and white print that I'm reading right now, I understand what they're saying. But we're not stupid. We know where this has been. We know what has gone on. And the Trump administration is doing something about it. It goes on, statement goes on to say, for generations, the working journalists elected to lead the White House Correspondents Association board have consistently expanded the WHCA's membership and its pool rotations to facilitate the inclusion of new and emerging outlets. Since its founding in 1914, the WHCA has sought to ensure that the reporters, photographers, producers, and technicians who actually do the work 365 days of the year decide amongst themselves how these rotations are operated, so as to ensure consistent professional standards and fairness and access on behalf of all readers, viewers, and listeners. To be clear,
yeah.
The White House did not give the WHCA board a heads up, or have any discussions about today's announcements. Huh. But the WHCA will never stop advocating for comprehensive access, full transparency, and the right of the American public to read, listen, and watch reports from the White House delivered without fear or favor.
Oh, yeah. The White House Correspondents Board has investigated themselves and found themselves to be above board. They have 40, 50 people in that room, and in the last 4 years, two of them leaned right. Yeah, you've been doing a great job of bringing in diversity of thought there.
You had open seats and you made Chanel Rion stand in the back of the White House press room to ask questions.
I want them to do a White House Correspondents Association dinner again. Very fun event for Democrats and funny. And I want Nate Bargatze to do it.
Yeah, me too.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And I'll open.
Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan, only think about yourself. You're like, that's a great idea, but me.
Actually, Nate Bargatze, he might be the best person that could ever do that.
I think so.
Because he's apolitical. There's no politics in what he does.
The common sense and the things he prioritizes in this weird reality that we live in right now lean maybe a little more to the conservative right. And I don't think that he's like hidden away from that. But that's just because he talks about family. The thing he talks most about is family and being a dude. He would be super funny.
Well, what's really funny is that if you watch somebody like Nate Bargatze, Getzy, and you think that leans right, then
yeah.
you are saying something about the culture that we live in, because he's not saying anything. He is a family man. Does a family man lean right all of a sudden? I guess maybe. I don't know.
Yesterday, we did a story on how Wisconsin's governor, Tony Evers, wants to change the word mother to inseminated person. And I almost just quit everything. That's what the left is standing for right now. So being like, I like being a dad. And I like that my wife is a mother. There's one side that hears that statement and is like, yeah. And there's another side that's like, well... inseminated person?
If you live in that world where you hear somebody do a joke or whatever, and they say dad, and you're like, could have been a little more inclusive there. What kind of life do you live?
What kind of person finds the term mom or mother offensive? Because that's the only reason to change it.
Yeah, is there somebody who is in that situation who's like, I'm actually kind of offended by that term?
I don't know those people.
It seems as if that person isn't real. That this is, we finally hit the end of the road where they're just placing it upon them.
Hmm. Well, before we get to the YouTube live chat poll results, Brad has been leaving the YouTube live stream up for an overtime, right?
Yeah.
A little overtime because the chat demanded it. So if you've ever wanted to go check out the live stream while it's taking place, it's going to go a little bit longer after 3 o'clock just on the YouTube channel. But you can keep it right here and listen to 97.1 FM Talk because the Mark Reardon Show is going to take over. We've got some results in today's poll. I said over 400 votes and I'd get to it right today. And I've already started the process. Should I apply for the opportunity for a press pass at the White House? 85% of 469 votes said yes.
Woo-hoo!
I'll do my best. There's no guarantee, but I can't get it if I don't try, right? Mark Reardon Show next.